Father. Megan, can you put up that last slide? There's no wall that Jesus won't kick down to have us come back in right relationship with Him. And the next line, there's no lie you won't tear down from coming after me. Because the truest thing about us is what God says is true. He wants relationship with us. He wants to know us. He loves us so much. And we got to stop believing the lies of the enemy that we're not worth it, that we have flaws. Yes, we have flaws, but they're not enough to stop us and separate us from Jesus. We're worth it. God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. God knew everything about us. God knew we were going to be here for such a time as this. He didn't say, well, I'm going to send my son back, but not for him or him or him. And probably not for him. And that Dave Misko, he's kind of a little bit weird, so we're not going to send him back for him. No, God sent His Son back for each and every one of us. And if you're believing a lie, allow Him to tear it out of your life, crumple it up, and throw it in the trash. Because you're worthy and He loves you. You have value and He loves you. I have value and He loves me. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And we need to stop believing those lies, stop living in those lies, and we need to start living in the truth. And that's that Jesus Christ loves us. And He came from heaven to earth to die for us. We're going to pray. Father God, we thank You that You love us. God, we thank You that You will tear down these walls. You will tear down whatever lies are in front of us, God, and that You will help us start understanding and believing the truth, Father, if we put our trust in You and if we look to You and we call out to You. And God, we thank You for that. God, we thank You that You love us. God, we trust that You love us. We trust that You have a plan. Father, we love You and we thank You. You are such a good God. Father, we renounce those lies that we've spoken over ourselves and we've allowed others to speak over us. And Jesus, we ask that You speak truth in each and every one of our hearts right now. And Father, as Megan prepares to go and work with the kids, God, and these kids, Father, we pray that You'll open up their hearts, Father, to Your goodness and what she is going to tell them about today and about how special she's going to tell each and every one of them that they are. Father, we pray that You would just pour Your love into each and every one of these kids. Encourage them, love them, bless them, Father. Father, be with us here as I share Your word, Father. I pray that You would bless these kids in this room as well, God. Your kids, Father. Father, I pray Holy Spirit reaches in and impacts each and every one of us deeply today. Thank You, God. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, team. And we'll let the kids go with Megan. While I'm getting myself prepared and ready. So I think I've got this iPad muted. If it mutes and you see me hit my fist, it's because my app came up and the riders just got scored on, but I tried to disable it, so I think I've got it. But if you see that and you're PVRing the game, don't pay any attention to my fist smashes or my fist pumps, because it could be one or the other. You don't know what you're going to get with the riders. or with me. I might just totally fool you guys and just, if you're recording it, you're going to think it's like 40-0 for Montreal because I'll just hit my fist. Mel, are you recording the game? No, you're good then. So, what would Jesus undo? This is the series we've been working on for the past, 3 weeks. Last week I didn't speak because we had Vaden Earl here sharing about his story. And I encourage you guys, every time his story comes to your mind, just to continue to pray for him and his family as they go through this battle that they're trying to get their daughter to Canada. So 3 weeks ago, the first week, we talked about indifference, and we talked about the lukewarm Christian and how we don't want to be that lukewarm Christian. If you're hot, there's a purpose for that, and if there's a cold, there's a purpose for that. For lukewarm, though, Jesus just wants to spit us out of his mouth. And we talked about some of the causes of this indifference, this lukewarmness, and one was self-sufficiency, and the other one was the distractions of the world. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about hollow worship. And I told you the great story about my father-in-law, which my mother-in-law probably doesn't think is that great of a story, about this gift of this fake diamond ring that she got at Christmas when he spent all his time wrapping it so special and trying to make it look real nice on the outside, but in the end, it was basically just an empty gift. Or Nora and her Toblerone bars that she loves. And I think, I don't know, maybe I'm alone, but I think that was a good service, a really special service. And I don't just say that because I was the pastor and that was a really good word. No, but I'm saying we had a good time of praising his name after the word. And I think we kind of, I don't know, maybe you guys are with me on this, maybe you're not, but I think we're going somewhere as a church. The Rosetown Community Church is going somewhere. We've got a purpose and a plan, and I think we spent a good time just praising his name and just giving it to God. And that was where I talked about, you know, when you raise your hands in praise, when you're singing, not only are you surrendering it to God, but we're getting the victory at the same time. And we're going somewhere, though, aren't we? Do you guys believe that? As a church, Rosetown Community Church, we're going somewhere. We've got a purpose, we've got a mission, we've got a plan, and we're doing something. So what would Jesus undo? Well, Jesus would undo, this week is not a very fun one to talk about, but hypocrisy. So, I'm going to tell a story. It's not a happy story, but it's a story. I like sharing happy stories. Who likes hearing happy stories? Okay, well, this is not a happy story, but it's kind of it's a funny story, but not funny. I'm going to stop describing it. So I was driving to Regina on Friday for soccer board meetings, and I didn't have my radar detector with me. Not that I would speed that crazily, but just I like to know where they are. And I was pulling out on a circle drive and almost missed my turn to get onto the highway from circle drive and, what is that, Highway 11 to Regina? Highway 11? Yeah, okay, so Highway 11. So I'm almost missed my corner and, there it is. So I put my signal light on and kind of cut some guy off that was racing behind me. And he decided to get nice and close. And you know those guys that when you're driving and you kind of cut somebody off or they're annoyed at you, they get nice and close. Well, he got nice and close and kind of tucked in behind me. And then he lays on his horn and he was French and I think he were maybe telling me sign language, I'm not sure. But there was a bunch of stuff going on here. And then I got onto the Highway 11 and cruising along, and he took it upon himself to really correct me. And like I waved, and I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Like, yeah, I'm probably should have been paying more attention. But if I would have gone past that highway, I would have been so lost. I don't know where to go from there. So anyway, bad excuse. So I pull on the highway, and this guy is like right on me. So I slowed down to let him pass, and then he finally passed me. And this guy passes me, and he continues with the sign language. But there was one sign that he just kept going, and as he's doing the sign, he's mouthing something. And I'm like, I'm sorry, like, leave me alone. I made a mistake. And he proceeded to continue to do this sign to me the whole way, telling me basically I was number one in his books. Like, you're number one, pal. And I'm like, oh, please. But he proceeded to do this, and normally I get irritated when that happens, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to speed up. And then here's where the story gets kind of sad, but kind of awkward and funny and not funny. As he proceeds out, guess what was on the back of his vehicle? But he had one of those, I don't know if you've seen those little fish emblems. And then he had the sticker on the back. And what did his sticker say? Which was very funny to me. But WWJD. And I'm like, this is great. So he proceeded to speed up. I'm not going to say which speed he sped up to. And I thought, because I'm a bit like my daughter, or she's a bit like me, but I'm a very justice person. If I see a wrong, I need to try to correct it. I think it drives Elaine crazy sometimes when I tell her. But I feel like if I see something wrong, I need to deal with it. Like, I need to help. So I need to help him. This guy totally told me I was number one and was mouthing stuff that I don't really know what he was mouthing, but I know it wasn't good as he drove by me. So I kept up with him all the way to Regina. And I think he was annoyed at that. And then we got to the first set of traffic lights, and I went out of my way when I got to Regina. I needed to turn here, and I just kept on him in Albert Street, I think it is that main drag when you come into Regina. And I'm like, I'm going to have a talk with this fella. I was hoping we were going to hit a light somewhere. You normally don't hope for a light. And we got to the light by, I'm trying to think of what store that is. The McDonald's, BP's area there. You know which area I'm talking about? By the mall? I don't know if you guys are familiar with Regina, but there's a mall, BP's, McDonald's. And we stop at the lights. And he's just glaring at me, like the dirtiest glare you could ever give. And he unrolled his window. And after I unrolled mine, he unrolled his. And I opened, I was like, sorry about that in Saskatoon. Just wanted to let you know, praise God. And the light turned green and I left. But how many of you have ever had that happen? Maybe somebody with the bumper sticker told you were number one or whatever, right? The fish logo. What would Jesus undo? I think something that Jesus would undo is this behavior and attitude that he despises with all his heart. Jesus would undo hypocrisy. Those who claim one thing by the way they live, it's different. They claim one thing with their outward actions when they're in church, but when they're at home, it's completely opposite. It's not a fun topic to talk about. And it's something that's not easily seen in our own lives. But it's very easy to see it in other people's lives, isn't it? So let's play a little game. Who wants to play a game? I like games. How many of you would say you know a hypocrite? How many of you would say that you're sitting close to a hypocrite? Don't put your hands up. See, it's easy, really easy, to see this hypocrisy in other people's lives. But we don't want to see it in our own oftentimes. And there's this old joke that pastors always like to share. And the common thing when you try to invite people to church is what? I don't want to go to church. It's just filled with a bunch of hypocrites. How many of you have heard that? It's probably one of the most common answers we get, right? Filled with a bunch of hypocrites. And the common pastoral answer is, well, there's always room for one more. Why don't you come? It's kind of funny, but there's some truth to it. And the unfortunate thing is, though, we dismiss some of the pain that is stated in that statement. There's pain when people make that statement. Have you ever looked up to somebody spiritually and really looked up to them and then had them do something to you that just hurt you, broke you? Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was a friend, whatever. But it was very, very painful when they represented one thing and acted completely different. There is a guy that I had in my life, and I really looked up to him and his wife a lot. And they helped out with youth group and helped out with different things. When our youth pastor left, they became the kind of youth people. But and they were helpers before that, and I really took a liking to them, and because they were kind of like, not grandparents, but they were kind of in between grandparents and parents. I don't know, mid-parents, we'll say. We'll call them is mid-parents a thing? Mid-parents is a thing today. So they were mid-parents to me. And I really love these people. And I looked up to them a lot, and they were like my first mentors, really, outside of my parents, my grandparents. And these folks even were so good to me that when I went to Bible school, they paid for my first part of my first year of Bible school for me. Like, this is how much of a connection we had. And then years later, I had this opportunity to go work with him. And it was awesome, you know, to sit there and work with somebody that you really looked up to, right? It was great. And then I did something, and we had a process where we could make recommendations. And I made a recommendation for one of his sites, trying to be helpful to him. And he didn't see it as helpful. He saw it as I was stepping on his toes and trying to make him look bad. And rather than just coming to me, somebody that he had a relationship with for about 15 to 20 years, probably 20 years, instead he calls me and verbally unleashes on me. So he had an opportunity to have a fatherly discussion, but instead he calls me. And the call would have been fine if it would have just been discussion, but he starts cussing me out. He starts swearing, screaming, telling me how I'm trying to make him look bad. And that changed the way I looked at him. There was some damage done, right? Now, I think it was even the next day, I walked into the office and he was waiting there for me to apologize to me. And, you know, we had a discussion and I forgave him, he apologized, and we worked through those things. And there was never quite the same level of trust, but we worked through them. But not everybody can do that. Not everybody can have that discussion. Some people see hypocrisy, and they say, well, you claim this. You claim that you were a godly man or godly woman. You were my leader. I trusted you, and now you did this. I can't trust this anymore. I can't trust Christians. I can't trust Jesus. If you did this, here's my representation of Jesus. This is how you treated me. I'm gone the other way. And many people walk away from God because of hypocrisy. Brennan Manning said this about hypocrisy. He said, the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him with their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable. So let's go ahead and let's build this foundation today. And I think in order to do that, we need to understand what hypocrisy really is. So what is hypocrisy? Let's talk about what hypocrisy is not first. I think that'll help us understand. But hypocrisy is not the disparity between what we do and what we wish we did. It's not the difference between how we behave and how we wish we behaved. Like, I wish I didn't have these bad thoughts, or I don't know. I wish I just didn't watch that show. But I did. See, that's not hypocrisy. That's just sin. The difference between sinning and being hypocritical Hypocrisy is the gap between what we show we are and who we really are. See, the fact of life is this. Most of us, we have a limp in our life. We have some sin in our life. If you, like, those of you that are sinless, put up your hand. Oh, good. I'm glad. We all have some area of sin in our life. And we're being dealt with. God is dealing with each and every one of us in a different way to try to help bring us closer to Him. Right? Do you believe that? I am thankful for that. But hypocrisy is coming and acting like you got it all together. Like everything is just perfect, peachy. I don't know any other good words that go with P, but things are perfect. They're great. But when they're really not. So it's the gap difference between what we show and who we really are. It's the difference between what we say and how we live. It's the difference between our public persona and our private character. So those of you that are wrestling fans, and if you're not, maybe you'll still understand it. We have people, there's professional wrestlers, and they put on this act of in the ring, in the wrestling ring. And I have this friend, or have a friend, Ted DiBiase, was the Million Dollar Man. One of the most hated guys. He was actually, when they did a whole survey thing, he was one of the most hated wrestlers of all time. Because he walked around and I was flashing $100 bills. And after he'd beat the little guy, he'd go stick a $100 bill in their mouth and stand over them and yell at them. And if you met Ted DiBiase in real life, he is probably one of the most humble, kind, gentle men you will ever meet. And it's just that difference of, well, his was negative, obviously, but the public persona as opposed to your private life, who you really are. So what would Jesus undo? He would undo the show. When the real life isn't consistent with what we show. Hypocrisy, it comes from the word hypocrites or hypocritas. And it kind of sounds like hypocrisy or hypocrite. And what it literally means is an actor or a stage player. It means one who hides behind a mask. I wish I had some. When I was in California this past year, there was all these cool masks in the Indiana Jones area. I should have bought them because then I could have had masks to show you and we could have had fun with it. But you could have the angry hypocrite, right? And they're the guys that come in and they're like, well, hey, you better not smoke, you better not chew, you better not go with girls who do, right? Those are some of the prime rules. Angry hypocrite. Hey, you better not be doing that. Don't look at that. I wasn't pointing at you, Wanda, sorry. I was pointing behind you at the water bottle. But when the mask comes off after the guy, just angry hypocrite, just said, hey, you better not be doing that. Meanwhile, as they get home, they take off their angry Christian mask and they're addicted to pornography or they're going at home and they're stealing swigs of whatever, mouthwash from the bathroom. I don't know. But they got secret addictions in the background is all I'm trying to say. But they go out showing one face, but their behaviors at home is very, very different. Or then you got the happy hypocrite. The happy hypocrite's much nicer. He sounds much nicer. I sounded like a little bit of a hillbilly when I was angry hypocrite, didn't I? Now I'm happy hypocrite and, you know, everything's praise God, brother, hallelujah. Praise God! And you put on this face like everything's just peachy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Everything is just awesome. Couldn't be. What problems? I never have problems. Praise God. Life is good. Life is great. It's better than good. And if there's a word better than great, that's where I am. And you put on this thing, this look, this mask of happy Christian. which is actually happy hypocrite, because meanwhile, you screamed at your wife and your kids, and maybe you smacked them around a little bit, or you have an anger problem and you threw a glass at a vase or a vase at a wall or something, and you're just kind of a bit of a jerk. And you're not showing Christ in your regular life. But when you're in these walls, praise God, everything is good. God is good. But he's not actually evident in your life when you're living. Praise God, everything is good. Did you just see what she wore? How did her mother let her out of the house like that? Who does she think she is? Praise God, brother. Hey, how's it going? Right? I don't know. See, we read in Titus 1:16 about these guys. And it says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. See, this is something that Jesus hated, was the hypocrite. When they were outside, they would show one thing, but from the inside, they were very, very, very different. And Paul had this one little verse that represents what hypocrisy is in verse 1:16, chapter 1, verse 16. They show it, but by their actions, the way they live, they actually deny him. Jesus hated this. And he talked very, very directly to what the hypocrite was. And he said, anytime you're out and you're trying to be seen, hey, I'm going to be generous. Look at how generous I am. Mel, bring that offering plate. I'm going to make it rain dollar bills in the offering plate. Look at the bills fall, guys. Like, really? Wow, did you see how many hundreds I put in the plate today? Like, serious. Come on. Or maybe it's the guy that's praying. And you know, please don't take this the wrong way when I talk about the praying, because some people are loud prayers. But the Pharisees would literally stand on street corners. Oh, dear God, we glorify you. We pray for so-and-so because they're going through this. And we're putting on this outward spiritual pride because we want to impress people. And you're just praying so that others can hear me. And so they can hear how spiritual I really am. Like, it's like I'm praying for someone in my office and I come on, hey, Lyle, did you hear me praying? I just want to make sure you heard me pray, Lyle. Lyle, did you hear me? Okay, good. What? I got to pray louder next time. Or maybe I'm at the post office and I'm just letting her go and I'm just praying. But yet, in reality, I'm just doing this so other people know how spiritual I really am. And Jesus said that is complete hypocrisy. Maybe it's, you know what, let's just pray about that. Let's take some days fasting. I'm gonna fast for 7 days, just so you know. Just so you know how spiritual I really am. I'm letting you all know. I'm going to deny myself of food because I want to be noticed, not I want to connect with God on a deeper way. Maybe it's when you criticize someone for doing something, but yet you do the same thing. It's hypocrisy, and Jesus hated that. Jesus never spoke more harshly than when people put on the mask. And there was this time that people were selling animals, and he didn't just come they were selling animals and doing stuff in the temple. They were turned into a big marketplace. And Jesus didn't just come in and say, hey, boys, you know, I told you not to do that. Guys, like, let's be nice, and we need to not just be in here and worry about our personal profit. What did Jesus do? Jesus came in and he starts flipping tables, overturning tables, and he said, this is my Father's house. It is not intended to be a den of thieves. This is a place where we seek my Father. We're supposed to be in here praying and trying to connect with my Father. And he never spoke more harshly than when he spoke to the hypocrite. Matthew 23. Jesus says again and again and again, "Woe to you who live like this. Woe to you who do this." And sometimes they call it the seven woes. Not like, you guys don't even know who this is. Who knows who Blossom the show was? You know. Anyone else? No. You guys missed a great show. Not really. But she had a brother, and what did he always say? Whoa, not, I sound much less cool than he did. But anyways, Matthew 23, 27 to 28 and 33. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And then we jump to 33 where it says, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned in hell?" That's pretty harsh. "You snakes, you brood of vipers." Strong words from Jesus. We want the illusion of public virtue, but inwardly we're stuck and we're captured in our public vices, all tied in knots. See, what's interesting when you read this is, what is Jesus saying? Is Jesus saying, "Woe to you who say bad words"? Is that what Jesus is saying? "Woe to you who watch bad shows on Netflix or Fox or whatever you're watching." Is that what he's saying? He isn't saying, "Woe to you who do bad things." Is he? He said, "Woe to you who do it, but then you act like you don't, especially when you're in my house. Woe to you who put on the mask, and behind the mask, you're really something different. Woe to you who put on a show." Not woe to you who are imperfect, but woe to you who are imperfect but act like you are. That's what he's saying. Jesus wasn't just calling out the sin. He was calling out the show. He was calling out the mask. Don't do it and act like you don't. These guys put themselves on a pedestal. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to come and beat you guys off of your pedestal, because everybody says we all have a little bit of sin in our life. Because I had a big stick. I was ready. I needed a good work with some batting practice, but nobody put their hands up. Nobody took me up on the offer. That's too bad. That's great. But I'm just teasing. I didn't want to hit anybody. Maybe Mel a little bit, but sorry, Mel. See, the problem is these guys were putting themselves on the pedestal. And those of you that are on social media, maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't, but I think social media has ballooned this illusion for us. Just a little. The wife's out taking her selfie with her husband. Look at us in our perfect marriage. Oh, I love my husband so much. He's such a great man of God. I'm so thankful for him. Oh, we're so lovey-dovey. Oh, look how happy we are. That's my feminine girl voice. Yet we're not even sleeping in the same bed. I can't even talk to her. I can't look. The only time I can look at her was to make sure that picture was in focus. And then I had to turn away. See, it's created this illusion. Maybe you're on Instagram. Maybe you're an Instagram person and, oh, look, I'm going to get this great picture. Here's my Bible. I'm doing my devotionals. Oh, that coffee looks a little light. I'm going to make another cup. This picture's got to be perfect. Here's my toast. Okay, is the lighting right? No, we got to get a couple. Hold that flashlight over there, kids. Okay, that's perfect. Here's my coffee and here's my Bible. I'm doing devotions. Praise God. But you actually spent way more time setting up that picture than you actually did in His Word. But I'm going to show you what you want to see. I don't know, maybe I'm alone on this. But this is something we see time and time again. Maybe you're like, oh, what's the guy from the Lego movie? Who's watched the Lego movie? What? Have you watched Lego movie? Where are my kids when I need them? The one time I need them this weekend, they're not around. Bailed on me. There's a Lego movie. You guys are missing out. Maybe that should be our family movie night. I've watched it lots, and I still, yeah, you're right. It's that impressionable. But there's this Lego movie, and what is the song that they sing when he wakes up? Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here and I'm pretty depressed. I feel like I got no friends. Money's a little tight, but everything is awesome. Here, I'm going to be on Facebook, on my Twitter shows. Everything's awesome. But I'm living in denial. Everything's not awesome. But everything is awesome. Right? If you watch that show, you'll see that song. Classic music. As you can tell, I think those are the only words in the whole song. The entire song. And I think it goes on for about 5 minutes. And they play it multiple times. Everything is not always just awesome. We are not perfect beings. Who's perfect? I better put my hand down. Who's perfect? Right? And see, the thing is Jesus had zero tolerance for hypocrisy. But do you know what's awesome? This is part's awesome. He had zero tolerance for hypocrisy, but he has unlimited grace for a sinner who needs forgiveness. Fact, Jesus has unlimited grace for us, sinners who need forgiveness. When we invite someone to church, we're not saying, come to Rosetown Community Church, please. We are all perfect. Everything is awesome. We are imperfect people who need Jesus each and every day. The last thing I'm going to lie to you about is that we're perfect. I'm not perfect. I know, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm not going to lie to you and say, I'm perfect. I have great hair, but I'm not perfect. Pastor John Drisner, our superintendent, I was at some course this week at the district office, and he asked the guys from international office, have you seen many pastors in your travels across the nation with hair like Pastor Dave? And he's like, nope, don't think I have. And the other guy commented about how at least he has hair. So I'll take that as a win. But everything is not awesome. We're thankful we have a Father who makes it better, who makes things good because He's got a good plan. But we can't sit here and say, I'm awesome, when things are not. What would Jesus undo? He would undo a spiritual hypocrisy that we show something that is different than reality. Woe to you, Jesus said. How will you escape being condemned to hell? Because everything is awesome. We need Jesus. Because He has unlimited grace for us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to forgive our neighbors. He wants to forgive that annoying cousin that you just don't want to see at the family gathering. Or that annoying uncle, Fred. I shouldn't have named him. No, but you know, that annoying uncle or that annoying family member, that annoying neighbor, when you're like, and we talked about the annoying neighbor, Oh, there he is. I got to go check my mail. I don't have the mail key, but I'm just going to pretend. Is there any way I can avoid this conversation? No. We need to have forgiveness just like that person. Just like that person. We all need forgiveness. We all need grace. We all need Jesus. Bottom line. And some of us are sitting here right now and we're like, boy, am I glad Pastor Dave's talked about this. I am going to send this link to so-and-so. They need to hear this. When really, we all need to hear this. Every single one of us, and it's not fun to hear. And if we're uncomfortable right now, maybe just a little, and maybe we're not, maybe we need to be uncomfortable. If we're not uncomfortable. We need to be open to allow the Spirit of God to show us where our gaps are. What I want you all to see is that maybe there's a little bit of a hypocrite in all of us. Because there's areas in all of our lives where we're like, I got that part together. But we really don't. Because the only reason we might have it together today is because we talked to Jesus about it yesterday. See, thinking that things are perfect and awesome because of who I am just leads us down a path of despair and destruction. But it's every day coming back to Jesus and saying, I need you, Jesus. Jesus, help me through the next day. Because how do you be everything is awesome when you have no... I'm going to use the word that everybody hates. I have no crutch in my Jesus to help me get through the next day. Because every one of us has that limp in our life. It may be whatever. I don't know. But the problem is going to be when we start acting like we have it all together. We need Jesus. I am way off my notes. See, I want you guys to realize one thing. There's hope for the hypocrite. Matthew 23, 25 to 26 says, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean. So what's he saying? First, let the Spirit of God do a work internally on you, on your inside, where no one else can see. Gary, can you see my insides? Can you see what's going on in my spirit? That's where we need to start. When you internally are conformed to the image of Christ, then your external starts to look a little bit more like him. When every day you call on him and you rely on him to continue to do work on the inside, then every day your outside will look more and more like Christ has called us to live. But we can't sit there and say, because everything is awesome now, because we still need Jesus every single day to get through the next step. When God's word is transforming you, then out of the overflow, people will see who you're becoming. Out of the overflow, you'll display God's goodness as a reflection of what's happening on the inside. And it's not a one and done, you're good to go. It's a continual need for Jesus. It's not an act to fool, let's just scrub this dirt off, we're good to go. I look good. I'm kind of wrinkly, but that's okay. Praise God, right? Everything's good. Hallelujah. We need Jesus. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Every single day we need an encounter with Jesus. We need him. We can't just sit back after we ask it once and we're good. Have I ever told you guys the butterfly story? Okay, well, I obviously haven't because it's really quiet or else you guys really like that story. So you can't just capture a caterpillar, tape some wings on it, and say, okay, here you go, and throw it in the air and say, fly away, butterfly. And now that caterpillar is a butterfly. Look, see, it has wings. It's good to go. It's all shiny and new. See, what needs to happen to that caterpillar is there needs to be an internal change. You can't just tape wings and say, look, I'm a Christian. You need an internal change to be more Christ-like and continuing to strive there. We need to be willing to let Jesus clip and prune a little bit in our lives to change us internally so that we can actually be the butterfly that we're called to be. See, some of us might say, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Yes, I am. But maybe, just maybe, you're maybe just a full-time mom and a part-time follower of Christ. Or maybe you're a full-time plumber and a part-time follower of Christ. Maybe you're a full-time mechanic and a part-time follower of Christ. And I'll say this, maybe you're a full-time pastor and a part-time follower of Christ. Or maybe you're a full-time lawyer and a part-time, well, sometimes follower of Christ, quarter-time follower. I pick on lawyers. They're not that bad. But you get the picture. We need to be first a full-time follower of Christ, and our vocation will sort itself out. Our focus needs to be a follower of Christ. Some of us are just faking the important stuff because we haven't had an opportunity or we haven't even realized that we need to make a confession, a full confession to Jesus, and allow Him to do the work on the inside, on my heart. The thing is I would rather be an honest sinner than a deceptive hypocrite. I'd rather just drop the mask and be honest and know that Jesus is continuing to work on me. See, Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You're only as strong as you are honest. So, we're going to talk about searching our hearts in a second. But the moment of truth is going to be when we're searching a heart. Do you have your iPhone out or your iPad out and you're reading the Bible here and you're at home and I'm going to read my Bible. Okay, my wife's gone or the kids are out of the room. Now I'm going to look at porn later. Or do you tell your spouse that you love them and then you go to the work or you go to the work, go to work or go to the co-op or go somewhere and you're flirting with a girl behind the till? Are you somebody here at church and you're a different person where you're out shopping or at work? Are you showing a perfect marriage and really you just need help to make it through another day together? And you just need Jesus to help bind you together? Do you act like everything's together here and you act like you're a perfect Christian here, but yet you're dealing with some sort of secret addiction? Drop the mask. Confess to God. Confess to your brothers and sisters here for support. But they're going to talk about me. See, the thing is you have nothing to fear when you have nothing to hide. I want to say that again. You have nothing to fear when you have nothing to hide. They talk about you. Who cares? You've just already confessed it anyways. See, Jesus has unlimited grace for the sinner who's in need of forgiveness, who asks for forgiveness. We need to make a stand against hypocrisy, is the bottom line of the whole purpose of this. We need to allow each other to be imperfect and know that each other is going to be imperfect. And not expect people to show up here every Sunday and say, praise God, everything's good. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool because we're part of a team, right? We got to work on that recording to make sure it sounds good when we post that. The thing is, we don't need to be perfect. We just need to be humble enough to know that we need Jesus. That's all. Jesus can't stand the show. But when someone is hurting or we have something happening and we just drop the mask and just say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, redeem me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, change me. Jesus, help me. You know what Jesus' answer is always to you? It's always yes. Always yes. And that's what's awesome about it. Because that's awesome. That makes everything awesome. Because Jesus' answer is always yes. Because he didn't come for those who appear righteous, for those that put on the perfect mask. He came for sinners who need him. That's why Jesus came. The guy who has hair doesn't have hair, that's not why we have barbers. We have barbers for the guy that needs a haircut. We don't have mechanics for the guy without a tractor. We have mechanics for guys with tractors because they always break down, especially green ones. Just kidding. I don't know what anything about tractors. Who am I joking? I call parts by the wrong name all the time. But I try. Jesus has no tolerance for the show. But he has unlimited grace for us. Because we need to repent of that. We are sinners. And we need his grace. We need to be repentant to him. So drop the mask. What if they find out? What if those around me see? What if they know I have faults? You have nothing to fear when we have nothing to hide. I think that's the third time I've said that, but we need to understand. We have nothing to fear when we have nothing to hide. Absolutely nothing to fear. When here in this community, we have grace. We're all sinners who were saved by grace. We're continually trying to strive and press into Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to allow Jesus every day to do a new work in us, right? Who has it all together? I'm not putting my hand up. Who's got it all together? Good. None of us. So that means that if we invite somebody to church and you can say, come to church with me. Come to church. I can't. You don't want to know what I've done. Do you know what I've done? Doesn't matter because it's all about Jesus. I'm not righteous on my own. I'm able to be here. I'm able to worship him because of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. Nothing to do with me. Come to church. Come check it out. Oh, I'm going to get struck by lightning. I'm a pretty sinful guy. Really? We got some pretty sinful people here. Come on, check us out. Nobody's perfect. No, not one of us put up our hands. We're a church made up of unperfect people. As I think it was 3 weeks ago, I said, we're a church made up of thieves, liars, adulterers, and something else. Does anybody remember what the fourth one was? Anyways, doesn't matter. Listen to it online. It's there. Proverbs 28:13. Remember that. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who, what? Who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And is that mercy just a one-time mercy? It's a never-ending mercy. We need Jesus. We need to go to him. Continually going to him. It's not a one and done. It's impossible. We need Jesus every single of every day to get through the next step, 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 because we're not perfect. Can I tell you guys what I hate? It doesn't really matter what I hate, but because we're talking about what Jesus hates, but I hate when people say, Jesus is just your crutch. You just use Jesus as a crutch. Come on. Like, he's not real. What do you mean? If I'm using him as my crutch, he's real. Well, yeah, but you're just using Jesus as a crutch. You know what? Darn rights I am. Without him, I couldn't make it through every single day. We need him. So I'm going to ask Mary just to come up and play. I won't bug everybody. Just play something soft, quiet. And Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in me, and lead me in the everlasting." While Mary's playing, guys, I'm just going to ask you to take a minute or two, and let's make this our prayer. It's up on the screen. And I just want us to make that a prayer. Search us, God. Search our hearts. Search the innermost corners. Show us what needs to be taken out. Take out any offensive way in us, God. And lead us to your glory. Jesus, do a work in us. So take a minute and let's just ask God to search your heart. Make that your prayer. It's going to take a minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, show us what's in our hearts. What needs to be pruned out? What needs to be cleaned out? Father, take away those anxious thoughts. Deal with what's going on the inside, what you want out of our lives. Deal with those offensive ways. Father, we need you. We can't do this on our own. Lead us, Father. Guide us. Direct us. Thank you, Father, that we're not perfect, but we're made righteous because of you. Father, each step, walk with us. Lead us. Guide us. Direct us. Love us. Father, as we've taken a moment here to ask you to search our hearts, God, we pray that you'll just continue to lead us, continue to guide us, continue to direct us of where we need things clipped out and pruned out. And Father, I pray that you would just wash those things out, take out those offensive ways. God, lead us to a closer walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're not done yet, but that's something I wanted us to do. See, what is hypocrisy? As I said earlier, it's the gap between what we show and who we are. We're going somewhere as a church. We're moving forward. We're leading to something new. Guys, we don't close the gap between us and Jesus with perfection. We don't close the gap between us and God with perfection. Because none of us are perfect. The only way we can close the gap between us and God is Jesus. Stop trying to be a good Christian. We aren't good. We've talked about that before. What makes us good is Jesus. Spend time with the one who is good. Jesus. Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy, but he has unlimited grace for the sinner who needs forgiveness. Unlimited grace for the one who needs forgiveness. As we leave today, we're going to make Psalm 139 our heart's cry. Search us, God. Know our hearts. Test and know our anxious thoughts. God, we need you. We need Jesus. See if there's any offensive way in us and lead us to you. Make that your heart's cry as you leave today. Each step, make that your heart's cry. We don't do something here very often. And this is going to kind of be a double whammy. But we're going to do it more and more. Something I haven't done since coming here is we haven't offered an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus, to come to him. And we're gonna be doing this almost every Sunday from now on. And we're going to be doing this for a couple reasons. Reason number one, we're putting Satan on notice that we're done with his games and that we're open for business. We want Jesus' name to be glorified in our community and our area. So we're putting the devil on notice that we're done with him and that we're going to be given opportunities for people to know Jesus. Secondly, we're letting the Holy Spirit know that we're ready for people to be getting woken up on Sunday mornings and coming in our doors. Because they're going to have an opportunity to know Jesus. Because that's all we're speaking about is Jesus and who he is and that he loves us. So we're going to pray. And I'm gonna invite the music team up, and we're gonna sing the song, and we'll just let that keep going. But we're gonna take a moment, and once they're up here, we're gonna just pray that for those that are dealing with hypocrisy or those that maybe have been putting on a mask, we're gonna pray for you. And I'm going to ask that maybe if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart before, or maybe you have and you just want to ask for forgiveness, I'm going to give you a chance to just throw up your hand. And we're going to pray for you. Or maybe if you're dealing with hypocrisy and you've been dealing with some of this stuff and you've been trying to put on this mask and maybe you're like, you know what? Forget this mask. I don't need it. I need Jesus. Thanks. I'm going to give you a chance. Put up your hands right now. Thank you. I'm going to ask each and every one, if you can stand, let's stand. And we're going to do this together. Because we are going to stand in boldness. Each and every person. And even if you didn't put up your hand, say for those around you that did, so that they feel comfortable. And just repeat after me. Jesus, I thank you for loving me no matter what. For welcoming me into your family. Jesus, I'm done with the masks. I need you. I need you to touch my heart, my mind, and my spirit. Jesus, purify me. I need you. Forgive me of all my sins. And help me walk with you each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, let's sing this song before we close, and I'll meet you at the back door to say goodbye as you leave.